Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
The full title of the book of Revelation is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. This sacred and final book of the Bible speaks of the ultimate triumph of Jesus, and it reveals to us the true weight of God's wrath. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 6, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of verses 12 through 17.
John writes, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "And I beheld when he, that is Jesus, the Lamb of God, had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" As we work our way through the book of Revelation, let us not forget that the book we are studying is titled The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes in conversation with believers, they'll ask, "Have you read Revelations lately?" And of course, I will say, "Well, no, what are you talking about?" And that's because the title of the book is not Revelations. It's not all about the cryptic things that people perceive there to be in this book. The book is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this particular book, more than any other book in Scripture, reveals to us in no uncertain terms the ultimate triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ overall as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords. Notice that in the last verse that I read that we will be looking at this morning, verse 17, we read, "For the great day of his wrath is come." And that final passage in our study today once again reminds us of a subject regarding the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ that is rarely mentioned these days, and that is the revelation of his wrath. You see, Jesus is not only the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he is also the Lamb who, according to Scripture, will unleash his wrath on a God-rejecting world during the tribulation period. The Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not only revealed as the Savior of our souls, he is also revealed as the Son of God to whom the Father commits all judgment. We read this in John chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." This reveals the purpose for the first advent of Christ. And in verse 22, "For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." And this reveals the purpose for the second advent of Jesus Christ. For his church, Jesus is coming as our bridegroom. For the unsaved, he's coming as a roaring lion and the judge. Five truths about the book of Revelation to keep in mind as we work our way through this book. The third verse of the first chapter contains a promised blessing to all those who read and heed the truths contained in this book. So read the book of Revelation and obey the book. God says he promises a blessing upon you. Number two, the message of this book is about hope for all those who trust in Christ. And no matter what you may be experiencing presently, or no matter what lies ahead, the final outcome of the revelation is the Bible's personal commentary on this verse. All things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Number three, this book, like no other book, will sober you up if your life is driven by the love for the world or for the things of this world. Because God reminds us in the book of Revelation, in no uncertain terms, that the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. May the Spirit of the living God protect us from falling into the trap of seeking to find our security or fulfillment in this fallen world system. Number four, this book is a progressive unfolding of the answer to the prayer of the saints, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That kingdom is coming, and it will be done, God's will, on earth as it is in heaven. And last but certainly not least, the book of Revelation is a revelation of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the 21st chapter of this book, verses 5 and 6, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst at the fountain of the water of life freely. Amazing that this is the one sitting on the throne who gives such an offer. And yet it's the very same one sitting on the throne that the people who reject him are going to say, hide us from his face. What a contrast. We saw in the opening of the fifth seal that many of the saints were martyred because of their faith in Jesus Christ. In what is known as the Olivet Discourse, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus spoke these words, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Luke tells us in the same parallel passage, and these things will happen for a testimony for my name's sake. In other words, Jesus told his followers a fact that is mentioned throughout all of Scripture. And it is that some of those who trusted in him would be hated, would be afflicted, and some would even die for his name's sake. Now think about it. Isn't that a message that is guaranteed to pack a church? Some of you that follow me are going to be hated. Some of you that follow me are going to be persecuted. Some of you that follow me are going to be afflicted. Some of you that follow me are going to even pay the ultimate price of martyrdom. That is what Jesus has promised, along with eternal life to all who follow him. And beloved, we need to come to terms with the fact that the Bible declares that God is glorified in his people when they are persecuted or martyred for his name's sake. When the scattered church was being persecuted and harassed for their faith in Jesus Christ, we read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You remember how in the book of Acts chapter 5, the apostles were beaten, thrown into prison because they preached Jesus Christ. And when they were released, they rejoiced and that they were counted worthy to suffer shame because they belonged to him. That's the heavenly perspective that we need to have when our faith in Christ is being opposed or mocked or ridiculed. When Jesus told Peter and John about Peter's death, we read in John chapter 21, verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Notice, glorifying God in martyrdom, in persecution, glorifying God in death. The Bible says in Psalm 116, verse 15, as far as saints go, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And beloved, the most precious thing that you and I possess as Christians in this life is our testimony for Jesus Christ. That's the most precious thing that we possess. The world will try to allure you and me away from maintaining that testimony. No doubt Satan will try to destroy that testimony. Our fleshly lusts certainly need to be crucified if we intend to keep that testimony. But I pray that we might be like Daniel, who in the book of Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 said, with purpose of heart, he cleaved unto the Lord. And may you and I do that this morning. May we make a renewed purpose to hold on to that testimony for Jesus Christ deep within our hearts. I really fear today at the message that is being given. So many Christians in America are being fed the lie that the gospel of Jesus Christ is nothing more than the fulfillment of the great American dream. And yes, without controversy, we are a blessed people, aren't we? We live in a blessed nation. We are very blessed. And I'm so thankful for that. But let us never forget that the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is for every creature, in every nation, in every generation of time. And it is not a message that God guarantees material wealth and perfect health. It's a message of forgiveness of sin. It's a message of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a message that those who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ should live now for Him and for His glory. That's the message. That's the good news that we are to proclaim. What we read this morning are the events that unfold, the opening of the sixth seal. They are a precursor to the opening of the seventh seal, which will open up the trumpet and then the bowl judgments. And we read this morning and will continue to read some of the most incredible and almost unbelievable catastrophic events. And because they seem to be so incredible, many people try to allegorize the book of Revelation. In other words, God sought to tell us in allegorical or symbolic words what is going to take place on planet Earth. But beloved, the events that we read this morning and those that will follow, let us never forget, they're the supernatural acts of Almighty God. And every other type of judgment in Scripture was literal. The flood judgment was not symbolic, it was literal. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was not symbolic, it was literal. The plagues in Egypt were not symbolic, they were literal. And the things that we read this morning and that we will be reading are not symbolical. They are literal, literal events that will take place in this universe and on planet Earth. In fact, Jesus Christ will literally and physically return to this planet one day. And the Bible says that when the planet sees him, there will not be an atheist on planet Earth, even those who have received the mark of the beast. And so here we are in verses 12 through 14. The sixth seal is open. Both heaven and earth begin to react to the judgment of God upon the earth. And there is, I guess you would have to call it, a mega earthquake that rocks the planet. And it results in this incredible solar and lunar disturbances. As here's God Almighty, according to the more sure word of prophecy in both the Old and New Testaments, shaking the heaven and the earth. In the book of Hebrews, we read chapter 12, verses 25 and 26. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I. Notice the personal pronoun, I. This is something God himself is going to do. I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. That's power, isn't it? Shaking the heaven and the earth. And I have my Bible here and I can shake it. Doesn't that impress you? What kind of power does it take to shake the universe? A power that demands our fear. A power that demands our submission. And here we read about this mega earthquake. Now we know that there have been many earthquakes on the planet prior to the one here. But this earthquake, with this particular earthquake, all the fault lines begin to fracture simultaneously in a way that impacts the whole planet, kind of like a domino reaction. And under the stress of this global earthquake, great segments of the earth's plates and fault lines are going to begin to slip and shift in a most remarkable way. The scriptures have been telling us about this for the longest time. Joel describes these things as he speaks about the powers of the heavens being shaken and the sun and the moon darkened there in Joel chapter 2 verses 30 and 31. And I, notice the personal pronoun again. Notice I, this is what God is going to do. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. It's interesting because the God of Scripture is the eternal God. And one of the things that amazes me in passages of Scripture like this in the book of Joel is that it is the same section of Scripture that Peter quotes on the day of Pentecost as it relates to the first coming of Christ. But it is the same section of Scripture from the Old Testament that speaks of the second coming of Christ as well. And once again, we see how many times in Scripture the events surrounding the first and the second advent of Christ are described in the same context. Notice that there is that reference to the stars of heaven there in verse 13. And many commentators believe that that refers to meteorites crashing into the planet. Can you imagine when this begins to happen? There is reference to the untimely figs, or it should be translated unripe figs, that describe the figs that grow in the winter and fall off in the spring without getting ripe. These cataclysmic events are also recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 13, verses 9 and 10, and in verse 13, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." And then in verse 13, "Therefore I," again, notice the personal pronoun, "I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place," out of orbit, "in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger." And if you're taking notes, you may want to write down Isaiah chapter 34, verse 4. Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, where there are other cross references to the Lord shaking the heaven and the earth. Think about it. What does that do inside of you when you think of God shaking this universe? Powerful, absolute sovereign power. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 10, "The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion." Joel prophesies how the lion is going to roar out of Zion. This is the Lamb roaring, beloved. Couldn't help but think this week and this morning about the Lord shaking up the universe, shaking up the stars, knocking them out of orbit. In this morning's Democrat and Chronicle, as in any large metropolitan city, there is the horoscope, the zodiac. Well, when God shakes up the stars, what are the people that look to the zodiac for direction going to be doing? They've lost their way. God has a strange way of reminding us that he and he alone is the only one that can truly guide us in our life. Remember that in the book of Colossians, we learned in the first chapter that it is Jesus that holds all things together. He holds all things together. And what we are reading about in these judgments is the fact that Jesus is now, in some sense, releasing his grip on the universe. And as he releases his grip, things get out of control, so to speak. But what is true of the universe is true of our lives as well. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, when Jesus Christ is not in absolute control of your life, when Jesus Christ is not in absolute control of your marriage, when he is not in absolute control of your finances or your children, they're going to start spinning out of control. And I may not know what is going on in your life this morning, my friend, Certainly, you might not know why, but I can tell you from one sinner to another that if your life is filled with confusion and out of control, it is because the Lord Jesus Christ is not in control. Because even in the midst of a storm, those who are in Christ know that He's on the throne and that He's in control. Is God shaking things up in your life right now? That need not be a bad thing. In fact, it could be the most wonderful thing that you realize today. Because if God is shaking things up in your life, ask Him to show you what it all means. And then listen and obey what He says to you. God just doesn't shake things up in your life because He doesn't have anything else to do. He doesn't like shake things up in my life just to say, boo. He does whatever He does methodically, purposely, for our good, for His glory. Never to destroy us, but to draw us either to Him for salvation or closer to Him. So if God's shaking some things up, say, Lord, what's this shaking all about? And know if you're one of His children, He's not asleep in the boat. He's the one that's on the throne, that's in control. But I want you to note with me, there in verse 15, beloved, notice that there's reference to the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men. Those are the people that you and I would call the upper class of mankind. And where are they at this point in time? They're mentioned as hiding in caves and pleading for the mountains to fall on them. Wait a minute. These are the athletic most valuable players if they're not saved. This is Miss Universe if she is not saved. These are the richest people on the face of this earth if they are not saved. These are the academic geniuses. These are the ones that people spend millions of dollars to watch them act on the screen. And here they are at this point in time, mentioned as hiding in caves and pleading for mountains to fall on them. You see, because their awards cannot help them. Their money cannot help them. Their country club membership or high honors for sports or academic achievements cannot help them. You can't escape this time. And the prophecies of these days when mankind would be crying for the mountains to fall on them, not only spoken of here in the book of Revelation, if you're taking notes, in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 10 through 22. Hosea chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus Himself mentions this time in Luke chapter 23, verses 27 through 31. God is shaking things up on this planet. This planet. Not another one. This one. And at this point in time, no doubt the world leaders are going to be at a loss in how to deal with the catastrophes that have arrived on the planet. I mean, with all due respect, look at the difficulty that our administration is having in dealing with one oil spill. Imagine when meteors are crashing into the planet. You think the UN's going to figure this out? You think you're going to get the G8 leaders together and they're going to figure this out? God has designed it that there is no way out but to trust in Him and in His Son. And the judgments described from here on out produce the reaction of worldwide panic and this overwhelming fear. In Luke chapter 21, verse 26, Jesus said at this point in time, men's hearts will be failing them for fear and for looking on those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.